right. Hello and welcome to League Geek episode number 5. I'm Mike Earl.
I'm Randy Orvis.
And I'm Patrick McGivern.
As usual, we'll just be discussing some tech news of the week, any other geeky items that happen to come up. If you are listening right now, you obviously know that we do this podcast live on Thursdays at 8 p.m., roughly, give or take, sometimes. So if you're listening via iTunes later on or from our website, you should check it out Thursdays. We have a newsletter. If you're on the site, you can check that out too. Sign up. Maybe we'll send stuff. We are going to start running a contest.
Yes.
We'll start it, immediately, I guess, as soon as you hear this.
Yeah, I'm just trying to sort of get our name out there more.
You can give away some free stuff, you know, for contributing
Yeah, so do we want to say what the contest is?
Right. Clearly?
So what we're thinking is, if you're listening, you obviously know about us, and I'm assuming or hoping that you like us on Facebook. And the contest will be, and maybe we can put something, just like a little blurb also on the website, just to say also, but put a comment on our Facebook page and then get your friends to like your comment. And we'll run the contest for 2 weeks, and the person at the end of the 2 weeks who has the most likes is going to win a...
We have a set of Bose earbuds that we're going to give away.
Valued at, what is that, Mike?
We'll say probably like $1,000. Yeah,
clearly $1,000. $1,000 set of headphones.
I bet they're worth about $75. So, I mean, they're nice. I have a pair myself.
Yeah, so if you're listening live now, you can get a head start on all the people who are going to have to wait for it to come out whenever we get it out. So,
hopefully tomorrow.
Yeah.
We'll see.
But, yeah, so put a comment on our Facebook page, get your friends to like it, and yeah, end of 2 weeks here. What's the date in 2 weeks? Did you look it up? That's the 7th. The 7th.
Okay.
So we'll say, how about we, I suppose, we'll close it like at 7:55, like, because then we can just announce the winner.
On our podcast, 2 weeks from today?
Yep. Cool. So 7:55 p.m. Central Time, July 7th.
2011.
Closing it down. Get started. Get cracking.
And then, yeah, we'll just get in touch with whoever wins to get an address if we have to ship it or whatever.
We'll even hand deliver it.
Well.
If reasonable.
Yeah.
It's true.
So, let's get started with some news then from this week.
I'll just like to say. So, we're trying to get a more formalized version, sort of our podcast. So we're going to try doing a new segment, I guess we'll call it, in our podcast with just, we're going to be discussing in depth a couple topics a piece, but these ones will just be kind of like quick fire news.
Tidbits.
I like that. So.
Geek tidbits.
Geek news.
Yeah.
Geek news.
The Geek Report.
Geek Report. The Geek, I think, is that what we're going to call it?
The Geek Report,
That's what it's called.
Okay, the Geek Report.
It's in bold, it's underlined,
Apparently. I didn't get the memo.
That's what you get for being against printing.
Oh, damn it.
John Gutenberg be damned.
Pat?
We can go up. Yeah, okay. All so, right. Yeah, we'll start off with, there's some buzz this week on new phones. Some of the ones that I'll cover today are the new Nokia N9, which was showcased. The N9, I'll just run through some specs on it. It's going to have the MeeGo 1.2 operating system. Comes with a 3.9-inch AMOLED display at a 480 by 554 resolution. 1 gigahertz Cortex A4 CPU. Comes in either 16 gig or 64 gig internal memory. Sports a bulky 8.8 megapixel camera with dual LED flash. Comes with the curved Gorilla Glass front. And then something kind of neat where like they set all the internals in a polycarbonate, kind of a unibody, and it comes in three different colors. And I had written that down where it's black, magenta, and then cyan are the three different colors that it can come in. Nice. And then also sports NFC, and I'll talk a little bit more about like the NFC, how they're incorporating it a little bit differently than using it as like a bus pass or like as a way of like paying for your items in like a grocery store or whatever. But yeah, no, I mean, it's kind of been dubbed the phone that's dead on arrival because it's a Nokia phone that is going to support an operating system that they're not going to implement anymore because of the whole Nokia is now going to be shipping out with Windows 7 based phones and Mango and all that they have set up in their queue, for later releases, either this fall or, early next year. So. But yeah,
sweet.
Yeah, it's kind of neat. I don't have any pictures, I guess, that we can maybe just throw up on the chat just to show the Nokia N9. I don't know if we can scrap that together.
I have.
I'll get on that now.
But to give a little bit of background on like on Mego core operating system, it's kind of it's a compilation of two different distributions. It's kind of built with Nokia's Debian-based Mimos distribution, and then also Intel's Fedora-based Moblin, and it's kind of this joint together type operating system. And it's been used in more than just handhelds. It's also been seen in tablets. It's also in navigation systems. I think BMW switched from their previous navigation OS to this Mego. In-dash navigation and all that kind of stuff. I think it was on Gizmo. I was trying to remember one of the links. Gizmo, is it
Gizmodo?
Yeah, Gizmodo. They had a pretty neat demo.
Not a gremlin.
They had a pretty neat video where they're showing the swiping and how the Linux kernel, they're kind of showcasing how the Linux kernel runs so efficiently. Like they were going from like they had like a full screen like HD video being ran, and then they're swiping over to like a browser or something, and the video kept playing as they're swiping it over, and they're drawing it back and forth, and then if you were to completely swipe and go to the next frame or the web browser, it would pause the video and you could swipe back and then resume from where it left off. So it was kind of neat to see this little device, a little powerful device, being able to render video and then still push it off to the side, which was, you know, we've seen that also with the Windows 8 tablets. They're kind of showcasing that where they could do that. But I mean, that's like a full desktop computer that's
right.
doing that video rendering, and it's just this little, you know, 1 gigahertz Cortex processor that's handling all that. So I thought that was kind of cool. But the other thing is they were incorporating NFC where instead of doing like the traditional pairing that you would do with like a Bluetooth device, they're doing like tap pairing where they're using NFC to establish the Bluetooth pairing between the two devices. So they had these speakers, these standalone speakers, where they could just tap the phone or tap the device on a certain area or on a certain pad. It would pair the device with that speaker, and then it would transmit over Bluetooth the audio portion of it. And they're doing that also with wireless headphones, and I'm assuming there'd be something available where it'd be just like, you know, the traditional Bluetooth, you know, in the ear microphone and like speaker that you traditionally see with other phones that have Bluetooth enabled. So it was kind of cool. Like I never thought of like using NFC as like some sort of like handshaking, you know, between two devices to initiate that. And it's perfect because that's literally like the architecture of NFC or anything that uses like RFID.
Yep.
So I thought that was really cool. So if you guys want to pitch in anything on Nokia N9 thoughts at this point.
It just seems funny that they're going to put out a phone with an operating system and then just kill it. I mean, especially when it seems like they have it seems powerful. It seems, you know, like something that would be good, but they're just like, here,
it,
whatever.
Yeah, to me, it doesn't make any sense either. Because it's like, what if I knew I was buying a phone that I knew was going to be obsolete? what's the point? You know, because you're not, you have nothing to look forward to, at least with Android. I mean, if you have an older phone, you're sitting kind of in the same boat,
but you've
at least
had
you
it
can,
for a while and you have got updates, whereas right. this is just
yeah, because I mean, you're basically signing kind of your own death, you know, of right. your phone.
Well, it makes it harder for like it even to gain any traction, because to developers, it'd be like, okay, this operating system is gonna be dead on arrival. Why even bother making?
Yeah.
Like,
what's the point of make any spending time?
Yeah. Why spend the time to build?
Yeah,
it
and I'm sure, I mean, there'll be a few apps, but you won't see anything. Yeah, exactly.
They did have like the they had like Twitter, Facebook.
Yeah. I feel like if you
Angry
don't have
Birds
those,
yeah.
if you don't have those, that you're not gonna make it.
Yeah,
I mean, at this point, so if you want a smartphone,
the essential apps that you see on.
I mean, you
most.
Can run Angry Birds on a Nook at this point. I mean,
that's Damn true. It. They even didn't they even put Angry Birds on a ink based.
Right, yes.
The e-ink base. It was just more just to
touch.
Prove it, you know.
And the fact that it comes rate, built in with Google Chrome is, it's like, yeah. Why not? Yeah, no, I've got nothing really else on that though.
So yeah, so I mean, powerful phone. I mean, there was also some press about Nokia's C-Ray, which is it looked very similar to the N9. But was a Windows-based Nokia N9. And I wasn't able to grab much buzz about it because I think it was kind of someone had the phone in their possession and they took it out before they said, okay, shut off the recording cameras, you know, please, you know, refrain from taking any still photography or whatever. And before they had a chance to say that, people were, like, snapping pictures of this very similar-looking, like, N9 type Nokia camera, and all of a sudden, you know, it just spreads like wildfire on the internet.
Yeah.
Like, what is this, you know? And I mean, obviously it happens a lot with many other different devices, speculation and rumors start.
And you know, even though they tell you to turn off your phone, I wouldn't turn off mine. I'd be
someone's like, gonna be.
I'd be like,
right.
Ha ha.
So I mean, but that kind of, I don't know. I mean, it, like, I think Tech News Today was talking about this, even though like the Nokia 9 is being released, like, and it has a dead on arrival operating system. They said that there still could be a possibility where the hardware can at least be used with a Windows Mobile 7 operating system. So maybe you buy the N9, you know, you don't like the Mego operating system, but Mango is finally more mature now and has, you know, all the features that you like, or, you know, it seems to be more of a fitting operating system for you. Maybe you could download, buy it, and install it. Who knows? But
interesting.
Yeah, it is definitely. And then to talk about like Windows 7 Mango, they had a demo that's been floating around that was showcased on a Samsung Focus, and it pretty much there was actually a really good article on PC Mag where they were highlighting how Windows Mobile 7 Mango, or just Windows Mobile 7 in general, is so different from all the other Android and iOS based phones, where Windows 7 is more like content centric as opposed to app centric.
Right.
Where you have like these little apps that you can create groups, and it can pull in like your Twitter feed and your Facebook contacts, and you have the ability to segregate in groups, say like this is like my family, and you can add like your family into this group, and that becomes like your little notification center for your family, so you receive like messages and photos that are only in that group.
So they're sort of copying what I don't want to say that Facebook has, but I know Facebook has like notification groups you can set up, or groups that, you know, they can only, you're only going to see this much stuff from this group, or
right.
Well, it would make sense too if they were doing that, because I mean, Microsoft is heavily invested in Facebook as it is. I mean, it seemed very convenient for them to share ideas and share technologies. Although I think that, you know, with the Windows phones, they're definitely trying to differentiate themselves from both Android and iOS, which, even though there's such heat between the two groups, we'll say they are very similar in the end. I mean, they're the same phone, really. I mean, different features, but essentially they're the same. I mean, and yep. Windows is really trying to be different than the your standard smartphone is right now, or the idea of the standard smartphone.
So some of the improvements that they're saying that's coming in the fall release of Windows Mobile 7 Mango is you'll finally get the copy-paste feature, which has been lacking for a while. There'll be multitasking, but it's still just like fast app switching for right now. So the app behind it will freeze, and then you can switch back to it, and it'll just resume from where it left off. And then also they'll incorporate the conversation view and email that you see on most phones today.
The notification bar style?
It's like the
similar to the messaging. Like where it's
threaded. Like stacked sort of.
Yeah, gotcha. like you see it in Google Mail where like
yeah, yep.
Yeah, where you have like a comment. Yeah, yep, you have like a thread of messaging. Yep. And then then also they're going to be incorporating what is called like Bing Vision, which is similar to Google Goggles. Where you have the ability to scan barcodes for, you know, different searches and for different like price results and all that on the web and translating text between languages.
That'll be interesting because that's the one thing that I think is better about Bing. I mean, I don't use Bing all that often for my general searches, but if I'm looking for a picture, I would much rather go to Bing because their image searching, I don't know why, but I think it's 1,000 times better on Bing for some reason. So it'll be interesting to see if they can, they're, you know, Bing, what is it called?
It's called Bing Vision.
Bing Vision. So we'll see how that compares. I'm looking forward to comparing it against Google Goggles.
Right. So.
As long as they're not just piggybacking, right?
Right.
That is true. And then next in the news, to switch from Mango is, yesterday Bloomberg reported that a new iPhone should be expected in September to coincide with the release of iOS 5. They reported that there's going to be a faster A5 processor. It's going to support an 8 megapixel camera and also support, obviously, iOS 5.
The day before that, Bloomberg announced that Boy Genius also reported that they thought it would be released in August, and also with the A5, which is the chip that is currently in the iPad 2, with the iPhone 4 having an A4 processor currently.
Right.
Okay.
Was it right with September with Bloomberg today?
No, nope, Bloomberg said September, which makes more sense because every year Apple has their iPod release in September. They always have their big iPod event, and people are speculating that. I mean, what's really changing in the iPod? I mean, it's going to be the same as the iPhone anyway. Why not make the events the same? Because they're essentially the same thing, just one is a built-in phone.
Yeah.
I mean, it would make sense to just have them all come out together instead of making so many different events to have the same device, essentially.
Right. It's funny. I mean, I always said, before an iPhone came out, when I held my,
iPod?
when I had my iPod, like, I held it in my hand, I'm like, how awesome would this be? A 60 gig phone, like an iPod with a phone built in, because it felt very comfortable. And the only thing that is lacking, I think, now is, I mean, what the biggest iPhone you can get is 32.
Yeah, and there's been rumors for a while that there's going to be, the last 2 years, there's been a 64 gigabyte one showed up in like Taiwan or something a couple months ago,
there's like a 64 gig one that was.
Like, I feel like, because the 16 gig, like, contractless phones that you can buy from Apple is $650 for the 16 and $750 for the 32.
Right.
So I would assume that would mean if a 64 came out that it would probably be
$850
or $900. It's like
$850 is a solid guess.
That's retarded.
I mean, it's solid state memory. It's in such a small format. I mean, it's harder to make, I'm sure.
Right.
And more expensive.
So was the report that they would bump up the memory size?
No.
Okay. So
that's just us speculating.
Speculating. Okay.
Randall and I just discussing that.
You heard it here first. Exactly.
On Tuesday, Boy Genius had predicted what would be the iPhone 5 if it were to come out. and it was a completely, like, a full revamp of the phone. They had, I mean, it looked...
Is that the curved glass and...
I don't know if necessarily if the glass was curved or the back was curved.
On This Is My Next, they had their speculation, I think, and what Boy Genius had was very similar to that.
Okay.
And it's like a beveled or tapered back is what I'm looking for. It's tapered, so it's like thinner at the bottom and thicker at the top, making it even smaller than it, I mean, it already is. But, I mean, there's going to be a ton of... I think it's pretty strong that, yes, it will come out in the fall. I think the 8-megapixel camera, because that's been leaked by a Sony official, because they make the cameras. So that's been kind of set for a while, and I think they're going to put the A5 chip in it. I think that's an obvious, because that's what they put in their iPads too now. So why wouldn't they just put it in the iPhone? It only makes sense.
Yep.
I mean, the real questions are the other things. I mean, like, will they put NFC in it? Will they?
Was it going to be a?
Will it be a 4G phone? Yep. I mean, that's.
Will it be, you think it'll be, like, similar to, like, the iPhone 3 to the, or the 3G to the 3GS, you know, where it's just a stepping stone?
And that's what a lot of other people think. It's just a small spec boost, you know, you get a little bit better processor, maybe a better camera, and then we'll still, you know, a more fully revolutionized phone, either in the summer again or next fall, you know, right. I mean.
Between the 3G and the 3GS, did they change the case?
Nope, it was the same case, just an upgraded specs, a few new features.
Yeah, because to me it seems silly that they would upgrade the case for, if it is in fact like a iPhone 4S or whatever.
Right.
You know, because since they just came out with the white one, I feel like, I mean, we'd said it before, you know, it would seem odd if they were to put out a new phone this year when they just came out with the white one, because you'd think that they would want to kind
of. I still feel like it's a little bit of a slap in the face, because the white one was just released today. Or not today, but earlier this year. And then, you know, then they're releasing a phone that, I mean, it doesn't say which networks it's going to be on at first, whether it's going to be like AT&T or Verizon.
Or T-Mobile
or whatever.
I think when they do release them, it'll be, they want to keep it together. They'll release them both on Verizon and AT&T for sure, whether or not it's T-Mobile as well. Or
right.
Sprint
yeah, no,
even. I mean, who knows? I mean, now that they're out of that, you know, one only AT&T contract, I mean, it's kind of open, but. We'll see what happens.
Yep.
With that, I guess. I mean.
And with that. And then, of course, on Bloomberg, they also reported that there's talks about the upgrade in the iPad 2 where they're gonna shoot for a higher resolution screen. And I forget what it's called now.
Retina display?
Retina display. There we go. Where, like, the DPI is above 300, or at least more than what the eye can perceive.
The reports of that kind of came out of the fact that in the developer build, the SDK and the APIs for iOS 5.0, a lot of things were seen that speculated they saw in the code, they saw a bigger screen display size. It was double both sides. I mean, it was 2096 or whatever. I don't know the exact numbers, but it was doubling the size of the current screen on doubling both ways. So, but again, that's all speculation. I think it would be silly for them to come out with an iPad in the fall. I don't think it'll be till next March again.
Right.
And I do think it will be a better screen, but we'll have to wait and find out for that.
And that would draw me to the iPad 3, actually. If it was a Retina display on an iPad, that'd be amazing. I mean, I love, like, video, like, clarity and anything that has, like, a great picture. I mean, it bothers me at home, like, because I have that little Roku box, but I get so much, like, AC, like, noise on that box where, like, I only spent, like, $60, like, granted. Like, it's a $100 device when I had some, like, rebates and whatnot, but it bothers me that there's, like, these, like, a little bit of AC noise that you can see up close, and it makes me want to go buy an AC filter, but the AC filter is more than the device.
Right.
You know? And at some point, you're like, this is just ridiculous. Like, forget it.
So, yeah, I mean, yeah, just in general, I mean, of course, with all the Apple stuff, it'll always be a game of wait and see, and the rumors are going to spread for a while. I mean, I think they kind of find it amusing. I would, sitting back at, you know, Cupertino, just kind of watching the reports come in and be like, look what these guys think's going to happen, if they only knew.
Yeah, and then, like, you know, there could be an instance where they're like, wow, they're not actually that far off.
Right.
Where, like, okay, I mean, they're pulling some information from, like, SDKs and, different manufacturers and patents and
or maybe
stuff.
Maybe they leave those little clues in there on purpose. They're like, I wonder if they'll find this. How long it'll take them.
Apple's speculation.
I'll just move into mine then. With Apple, Kevin Rose, co-founder of Revision 3, co-founder of Dig. And he is currently the host, one of the hosts on the podcast, weekly podcast, Dig Nation. He started up a company called Milk Inc., and they are a smaller company. I think they have, 10 developers working there?
Seven.
Working on, their goal is to,
They're an app incubator. I mean, they have a couple ideas for apps. They want to get out and just kind of
they aren't trying to build new groundbreaking apps. They're just trying to fix small problems with day-to-day tasks on phones and whatnot in the mobile world. So they announced, Friday was it Monday? In the last week, they announced that their first app coming out is called Oink. And you can check it out at www.oink.com. Their goal with it is, like, on the website it says, rate the adventure, life's an adventure, vote, rank, and share the world around you. And I read an article about it that somebody had an interview with Kevin, just asking him some basic questions about it. And there's already a bunch of services where, like, Foursquare and Google Latitude has one, or Google has one called Latitude, where you can check into different places. And their idea behind Oink is to not show that you're going to the place, but actually rating
the event.
The event, like specific things about the place that they're doing. You know, so if you said, "Oh, if they have, you know, good like Jimmy John's, their sandwich is awesome. The number 10, you should try it. Or the steak at, you know, Ruth's Chris is delicious. Try that. Don't get the pork chops because it's a waste of money. Like that kind of stuff. So it's really interesting. It's supposed to be coming out in. They say September?
Yeah, late summer, early fall. End of August, September area.
Yeah.
So, well, maybe it'll coincide with the iPhone 5.
Yeah, I would think that would be just pure coincidence versus anything.
Right, I totally agree.
But yeah, I don't know. I don't have an iPhone, but I'm looking forward to it because, I mean, it seems like anything that Kevin has been able to put his hands on has done well, so... Yeah, should be interesting.
And I mean, it's only kind of like they're giving a teaser right now. I mean, we don't fully know what it'll do, so it'll be interesting to see what the app takes off as. It's an interesting name, that's for sure.
Oink.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's going to be a lot of like, let's oink that, or let's rate this oink, or I don't even know.
Oinking it. I mean... That would make sense.
It'd be funnier if it was pork.
Let's pork it.
I don't know.
Maybe oinking. You can just choose the respective barnyard like sound.
Yeah.
Like, I'm gonna moo that. Let me give that a moo rating.
Yeah. I don't know. Like Twitter, you know, you're gonna tweet, but oinking just doesn't really have that flow to it. But I still think it's a cool name.
Just sharing.
Yeah.
And no one shares more than a pig.
That's true.
And then also PopCap Games. They have been around forever. I mean, I remember playing them when I was in high school. They had different Flash-based games and whatnot. And now the more popular ones out there right now would be Bejeweled 1, 2, and 3, Plants vs. Zombies. It's probably one of the bigger ones right now.
For sure.
But they have decided that, they, that they are going to be selling out. No, yeah. Not selling out, but they have they have sold themselves. They have a buyer for $1 billion.
Possibly more. I mean, that, you know.
Yeah. Well, the price, I believe, is just hearsay right now, but...
It's stated that it's going to be more than a billion, though, I believe. So, that'll be interesting. And who's buying them?
EA. Electronic Arts. So, if you're familiar with the Battlefield series, any sports-related games, basically. Any reputable sports game, that's them.
They have a ton of games. Yeah. EA is huge. I mean...
If you ever hear it's in the game, that's them. So that, yeah, that's interesting. It seems like, I mean, it seems like it was just yesterday that they were they were a bigger Flash game site, but
is there any like reports on what EA is going to do with PopCap? Are they trying to get into the mobile market because they don't really have much of a...
There's actually a ton of EA games on they've moved everything to iOS at this point. I mean,
well, I guess like Need for Speed.
Well, they have, you can get Madden on your iPad. They just put out Mortal Kombat. Somehow they end up with the rights to that. I don't know. They own the rights to Tetris too, I think.
Okay.
But they have a ton of games like Risk. They have Risk and like Monopoly and Life on the phones are all EA. Red Alert, Command & Conquer, is EA. They have a lot of games.
Gotcha. So why not?
So I was just reading another article quick while you were chatting. So EA is not, they do not have a confirmed buyer. It is speculated that EA is the buyer, but other possible ones that they are selling themselves. Other possible buyers is, so it's EA is the first one. That's what everybody's thinking. Possible Zynga, if you're familiar with Facebook games, Mafia Wars, Farmville. If you haven't heard of one of those two things, then you're clearly not on Facebook.
Which means you're clearly not on the internet.
Also, other ones was Google, Microsoft, Yahoo. Which those ones were just small time. They don't actually think that those are the buyers. But Zynga and EA are the two leaders. But they had said that they don't think they think Zynga would be out of the mix because of the price tag. But they said, right. PopCap's annual revenue is 100 to 150 million a year, which is insane to me.
They have a ton of games, and Plants vs. Zombies really, really took off on the iOS devices, and I know it's on. It just came out on Android. It was free, like 3 weeks ago. For the first day, it was out on the Amazon market for free. But they also sell it on, like, you can get it on Xbox, on the Xbox Arcade, and I would assume then PS3 as well. Although I don't know that for sure, and I know you can get it on from the Mac App Store as well. So I mean, it's everywhere. Mm-hmm. And people love it. I mean, it's a fun game, let's be honest. If you haven't played it, check it out. And EA, yeah, I think Google, that'd be interesting if they bought it. Maybe they want to get in the gaming market, who knows?
Yeah.
Why not test the waters with everything else, right?
Yeah. I feel like we've said it before. It's one of those things where they could throw money at it. See what happens. It's like them spending, eight billion for freaking Skype.
It's Microsoft.
I know.
Damn. But anyway, but EA also makes Battlefield, you said?
Yeah.
Well, anything with Battlefield coming out anytime soon?
Yes. Well, I thought we were going to talk about
it. All right, fine.
So, I mean, I can bring it up. That's fine if we just want to mix the small and the large.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Yeah, so EA, if you are a gamer, whether it be Xbox, PS3, or PC, you've clearly heard of Battlefield 3 has been in development for the last 2 years. I think it's been rumored 2 years, but it's been in development since Battlefield 2. They came out and said what I was reading.
Has it been that long since Battlefield 2 came out?
Yeah. Yep, because Battlefield 2 came out in... I could look it up. Well, do you want to look it up?
I can. Sorry.
All right. So, yeah, Battlefield 2 came out, I want to say, like, around 2005, 2006. And then the latest ones have been Bad Company 1 and Bad Company 2.
Oh, so they've had games, but yes, it has been since the actual Modern Warfare series, like the main installments.
Battlefield. Modern Warfare is Call of Duty.
Right, fair enough.
So they announced at... there's been trailers coming out for the last probably 6 months now for Battlefield 3, and it's been good. Being I'm a hardcore PC gamer, it's nice to see a game that is being developed for the PC and being ported to consoles versus the Call of Duty series, which Modern Warfare 2, Black Ops, and the first Modern Warfare were all designed for the consoles and then ported to the PC. So there's a couple times when I remember when Call of Duty Modern Warfare came out, that there were times in the PC game where it would say, press X to reload or something like that. And it's like, and it had like the little Microsoft Xbox button up on the screen. It's like, really, guys? You know, so in all of the trailers that they've showed for Battlefield 3, though, has been all the PC graphics, and they are unreal looking. It's based off of the new Frostbite 2 engine. Bad Company 2 was based off of 1.5, and what they introduced in that one was that a lot of you could do city destruction. So if you shot like a rocket at a building enough times, it'll actually fall over. Well, now with the new one, they've taken that even farther, where all of the buildings are, you can blow them up, knock them down. But one of the cool things is like, typically, like when you shoot a wall, you see just like a little graphic of like a bullet hole that, and you shoot it, you know, and eventually you'll see the same ones popping up. Well, now they changed it where when you shoot a wall, it'll break part of the wall. And if you shoot it enough, you'll actually shoot through the wall and you'll get a hole in the wall, actually. So it'll be
like everything is destructible.
Yes.
Type of.
Yeah. So it's probably going to be the most graphic intensive game to come out. So it'll be interesting to see how graphics cards, like mine is 2 years old now. So it'll be interesting to see how it handles that.
And when is this said launch then? Do they have a date yet?
Yes.
Or do they?
October 26th, I believe.
Okay.
Let me...
So yeah, so it was June 21st, 2005. Ooh, was when they... Nice. Yeah, was when Battlefield 2 was released. And then there was a 1.5 version that was released on September 1st, 2009.
Nice. October 25th.
Okay, and then there was also a new Call of Duty game coming out, right?
Yes.
And that's coming out November.
November
8th. So they'll be directly competing with each other then.
Yep.
So that'll be...
Yeah.
Well, which is always good.
And it's funny because there are... It kind of reminds me of the Apple / Android. A lot of people don't like the Call of Duty series because the maps are all tight quarters and you can't destroy the environment other than your basic, you know, you can break windows, blow up cars and whatnot. Versus EA's side with the Battlefield series, where the maps are humongous and you can fly you can fly helicopters and you can drive tanks and stuff. In Battlefield 2, that's another perk that's coming up. In Battlefield 2, you could fly helicopters, planes, drive tanks, drive jeeps and whatnot. But in the Bad Company series, for some reason, they took out airplanes. And that was my favorite thing of the Battlefield series, was flying the airplanes. And with Battlefield 3, the airplanes are coming back. There's three planes for sure that are coming in. The one I remember offhand is America's F-22, the newest fighter jet. So it should be really, really cool. I'm looking forward to it.
Excellent.
Yeah. And 64 player maps for PC.
That is huge.
So it'll be, yeah, and I know intense. they have to, huh?
That'll be intense.
Yeah, so they'll be porting it to the consoles, and I believe they haven't confirmed yet that the how many players will be on console, but I'm assuming it'll be 32, 16 on 16. So it'll still be good. The maps will be smaller on the consoles also. But it's, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's nice to, like I said, it's nice to hear a company still showing some love and support for the PC gamers, which really kind of started the whole biz. So
I think there'll always be that hardcore group of PC gamers, but I think the casual gamer of PC is dying because more people are going to laptops and they're just not as powerful.
Yeah, and I think it's easier. I mean, I'll be the first to admit, if you want to build a gaming rig and you want to play games, you can build one for cheap. I mean, probably, and I say cheap very loosely, because mine, when I built it, was, I think it would have been maybe $900, and that was, I mean, new everything, minus right. the monitor. But then as new games are coming out, like my graphics card, I'm already questioning whether it'll be able to handle the new Battlefield. So I'm already looking at upgrading my card. So that'll probably be another $300. Where
right
now you can go out and buy an Xbox for $300.
$250, I think.
And you don't have to worry about that kind of stuff. So
yeah,
I don't know. I mean, but
yeah, I think that definitely consoles, and then I think just in general desktops are sort of losing appeal. I mean, people are going mobile more and more, and I mean, with tablets and laptops getting smaller, and
mm-hmm.
the gaming world is becoming more Farmville centric than it is
I think
intense graphic Battlefield centric
yeah.
of the desktop.
Well, that's
but,
and I mean, if they could push consoles out faster, I think that would help a lot of the PC gamers keep up with consoles. Because I mean the one thing that keeps me with PCs is that the graphics are a million times better no matter what game you're playing, comparing it to the Xbox. I mean, it, don't get me wrong, it looks good on Xbox, but it looks even better on the PC.
Right.
Because my resolution is twice that of what the TV can handle.
And that's, I mean, right. And I mean, that's kind of where the point where you're hitting too, is that these console systems that are being plugged into TVs that are like 720p, 1080, 1080p. I mean, they don't really need as powerful machine to have, like a, I don't know, whatever your biggest widescreen TV is with the biggest resolution, whatever, graphics filters you're putting on there,
mm-hmm.
to kind of spruce it up a bit. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It seems like the Xbox 360, the PlayStation 3, like, they're powerful enough to play some of these games that are coming out now, and they still look pretty freaking good. But I think you're right that the hardcore gamers, they're going to look at the console game and be like, this kind of looks like crap, It's
right.
the same game ported, but it's not the same experience.
Yeah, well, I know that's the... And another reason why a lot of PC gamers don't want to play console, too, is one of the nice... I mean... Back when me and you started playing games, it was you built a PC to play a first-person shooter.
Right.
That's if you wanted that quick gaming experience, that's all there was to do it. Where now, what a game every Sunday with a few guys. We have a Call of Duty server that we play on every weekend, and the one thing that keeps one of the guys playing PC games is you've lost a lot of the little, we'll call them little bastards. I mean, that you don't have to worry about these little 10-year-old kids coming on and just talking Mondo crap 24/7. I mean, because when I played Halo on Xbox for like a month, and I had, I swear it was a 10-year-old kid just cussing me out. And I'm like, where the hell are your parents at? Are you kidding me? Like, I wouldn't say that stuff, and I'm living by myself. It's like, wow. You know, and
they're not even really necessarily 10, though. I mean, it's just
squeaky, prepubescent little bastards. So that's one nice thing about being PC is I don't have to deal with as much, I should say.
It's people that are more seriously into the, like, and they want to play for the, you also get a lot less backstabbers and team killers and whatever, because it's people that want to play the game for the game. It's not people that, well, I have it, it's here, and it's easily accessible. Exactly. I mean, it's like you said, it's more the hardcore crowd, so. If that's what you're into, I mean, it works good, so.
The last big thing is, I mean, it's no surprise really, but dedicated servers. There'll be dedicated servers for Battlefield 3. Battlefield's always had dedicated servers, but it's a good thing to mention just because Activision with the Call of Duty series, they're always semi-questionable whether it's going to be dedicated or host-based, so.
Is that for a fee, the dedicated, like, to play
online?
Yeah,
you'll have to rent a server. Okay. I don't know if they'll be, they haven't said if they'll be releasing like a program where you can install it on a home server. Gotcha. But I know for Bad Company 2, they didn't allow it. It's, you have to rent a server from a actual host.
Gotcha. So okay.
Well, and was it, we talked about with the Call of Duty games was possibly being feed, right? Was that possibly having fees? I mean...
Fee. Well, this is, it's different, though.
Right. No, I mean, I understand that, but it'll be interesting to see if that'll drive more to one or the other well.
Yeah,
But I think, I don't know. I think if they're already in that camp, then they'll probably stay there, but...
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a favorite. I like them both because there's aspects. I like the quick. My style of play is the fast paced, quick, small maps. That's what I love. That's what I excel at. But I love the Battlefield aspect where I can sit in a freaking airplane the entire map, just owning people, getting into dogfights, or flying at the top of the map where nobody can shoot you, and it's just like, I'm flying a plane all by myself in the clouds, you know, and got my joystick out, so. I don't know. Yeah, but yeah, with the Call of Duty, I got my Call of Duty Elite beta invite. They haven't announced when it'll be available yet, but I am officially in, so. Nice. It'll be interesting to see.
Accepted. Sorry. That's where we'd have a soundbite, and I'd press it and be like, accepted.
We need a little soundboard.
And on that same note, for any of you that have been listening regularly, you'll be happy to know that Pat finally got his invite to Google Music today.
Yeah, I wasn't trying to go for a cheesy segue into that. I was gonna announce it. Yes, I came into work today, and I already had my Google Mail up, and there's like, you can see on the tab where it says like, in parentheses, like one, you know, signifying one new message. And I'm like, this could be the day, you know, like, or this could be the day that I get like my first piece of spam, like from some pharmaceutical reseller in Canada. But I happened to click on the tab. I happened to click on the tab and it said, yes, I was finally accepted into music beta, Google Music beta. So I downloaded the Windows installer and my plan is, we'll keep this under wraps, I'm going to sync my data.
Excellent.
We'll see how fast it goes. Actually, I want to see what like the max throughput is, because we get 10 megs, but I'll do it off peak hours, so we're not affecting anything. But I want to see how much you can push to Google.
Yeah, and I don't think it'll be very much, because it only does two songs at a time.
Oh, right. Okay.
But
they'll go up faster. They'll go up faster, and so. Not that it'll make a huge increase.
Yeah. Well, anyways, we do statistics on all of our equipment, so I'll get...
So you'll be able to see...
I'll be able to see what my sustained throughput is during that time. And I'll have to check in and make sure I stop it on Sunday night.
And on that same note, my music is finally done uploading. I think I officially called it done yesterday, which was the 22nd. And I got my invite on May 25th, so it's only taken a month, roughly, to get it all up, but...
And that's where I was wondering, like, okay, I'm going to start syncing my music and see whether or not I'd get iCloud service before all of my music data service. So right now, I think iCloud is slow and steady, or maybe, I don't know, which one would be the turtle, which one would be the hare?
Right now... The turtle is going to be iCloud because they're not out at all. Yeah. You can't do anything with it.
Or maybe they are the hare because they're just sitting there.
They are. They're resting. They could be twiddling their thumbs.
Google's just slow and steady.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Oh, good call.
So we'll see who wins this race.
Yeah. I just checked mine. I thought I would be done. I thought I'd be done today, but I... forgot that I'd turned my computer off this morning on accident. It should have been done. But now I saw it had skipped 900 songs, and a bunch of them were upload errors, so it's going through those now.
Well, mine did that too. I had thought I was done, and it had skipped roughly 1,000, then it went back and did all the upload errors again. It's only like 105 of them were legitimate skips, so.
Yep. Yeah, so now I have 1,100 songs left to upload, so it should be done by tomorrow morning, I'm hoping. Well... probably not tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
Assuming I get a good connection. I'll turn it up when we're done.
On that same note, while we're talking about music, I guess, yesterday or the day before, Best Buy soft launched a cloud music service that's very similar to the iTunes Match service, where they're doing the same sort of thing, matching your songs, uploading what they don't already have, and although the only two reports I've seen of people actually signing up have both gotten stuck within 100 songs, and it just stopped matching, one at like 53 and the other at like 102. So, I mean, I signed up, but I didn't start doing it yet. I just thought maybe I'd test it, but maybe I'll wait. We'll see what happens. So
yeah, it's funny how everybody, I read an article, I know we had talked about how everybody's rebranding everything now is, instead of, you know, online storage, it's all cloud. And it's like, really, people? You know, they're just all trying to jump on this cloud bandwagon.
Right.
It's like, criminy.
I know. It's anything from, like, your emails in the cloud, or my Outlook's in the cloud, or my Exchange server's in the cloud. It's like, it's all, I mean, I get the idea. I mean, it's just...
Everything's in the cloud, Pat.
It literally, I guess.
Well, it's like,
we're in the cloud right now.
It's nothing new. It's all this technology. No.
Because, I mean, ever since I'm even going to school, college, I mean, when you see a diagram of, like, a network, the internet is always depicted as a cloud. You know, you have your production network, say it's, you know, Pine Technical College, and... has a line, and it goes to a cloud, and then it goes to another server, and the cloud is the internet. So it's like everything that you touch on your computer that requires internet access is cloud-based. So if you want to sound fancy, I guess, like when you're talking to your friends, you could say, yeah, I just checked my email in the cloud, or yeah, I was gaming in the cloud last night. You know, it's like...
Or listening to Bleed Geek from the cloud.
Yeah.
I just think it's funny when there's these, like, just backup services or hosted exchange services that it had existed prior to the use of the, you know, the word cloud as a type of service. And now they're just like,
they're all rebranding.
They just basically put out like a cardboard
because
sign
everybody
in front
wants
of
a cloud, Pat.
Hosted services. You just put cloud services.
Everybody wants a cloud.
It's the new trending word.
It is. And it's funny.
It is way funny. Cause it seems, I mean, everybody's doing it now.
Anyway,
neither here nor there.
All right, next on the docket.
Hulu Plus is coming to Android, which is pretty awesome. If you have, let me look up the phones quick. It's one of six, though.
Out of about 100.
It's at this point, it's probably more than 100, I feel like.
So, I mean, you know,
It's hitting Android.
6% of Android users will... Right.
But it's all the new phones. So if you're looking at upgrading, I mean, it's...
And anything you buy at this point will essentially...
So it's the Google Nexus 1, the Nexus S, the Droid 2, Droid X, the Atrix, and the Inspire 4G from HTC. So they... Yeah, it's free. I read it was free for the first 30 days, I think. And then after that, you go to the standard... and it's Hulu Plus, not standard Hulu. So it goes to the $8 a month after that. So, I mean, it's kind of a ripoff, but, I mean, if you're doing lots of traveling and you don't have access, if you don't have a laptop, I guess, or something, then it would make sense to buy. But...
I mean, I get what you're saying, where, like, some of the stuff is available on Hulu where, you know, it's... If you watch, like, it'll let you watch at least, like, the last episode or last two episodes. But Hulu Plus and some shows let you go back the whole season.
I think the standard has become the last five episodes. Like, ABC, CBS, Fox, and all actual sites. I think it's generally the last five aired episodes.
Yeah, they changed it to last five, and they turn off everything else now.
So Hulu Plus, even though it still has ads in it, but it allows you to go back a full season.
Yep.
In most cases.
Correct.
So, I mean, that's a plus or perk. I mean, it kind of gives you a little bit of a leeway, so you don't have to keep on top of your shows necessarily on, like, a week-by-week basis. You can just be like, okay, well, I'm going to watch this show through and through, and then watch this next show kind of through and through. You
don't have to really... And they're keeping up with their... Because, they have to... Hulu has to subscribe with all of the... TV broadcast stations as well, and they just renewed their Fox subscription with them. I don't know if subscription is right, but
contract
rights, yeah, license. Rights to license. So
they dropped off their money bag,
and along with that, they have announced also that they will be going on sale. Hulu is going to be selling out as well.
Originally, I think it broke 2 days ago. Like, they announced that they were in talks to sell to someone, and then it kind of came up that someone thought Yahoo was gonna buy them.
On Engadget, Yahoo's not a listed buyer at all.
But then it came up as it was. Everyone thought it was Yahoo at first, but then they're like, well, why would we don't want them?
Yeah, the eventual buyer thoughts are either Google, Amazon, Facebook, Netflix, or pets.com, which makes no sense to me, but maybe they're just looking for...
Actually, the most calming thing for a dog is to leave your TV on if you leave it in a kennel. I've heard of this before.
Really?
Yeah.
Because you don't want it to be lonely.
Yes. Oh, so it always thinks there's somebody around. Exactly. So it doesn't get separation disorder. Separation disorder is bad.
Pets.com doesn't seem so far off.
It just seems funny because it's like dog toys and Simpsons.
I think it'd be funny if Netflix bought them, as they are the nearest thing to a competitor I think they have. Well, Amazon, but I mean... direct competitor, I think.
I would assume, though, if Netflix bought them, I could see... I don't know what smaller companies are out there for streaming services, but I could see them doing something similar to what... like with the AT&T T-Mobile
deal,
where they would Sprint is like, you can't do that! You know, I could see these smaller companies going, you guys, this is like the largest... web streaming internet monopoly. Are you kidding me?
But and the only other thing I think really is Amazon. So, well, and if you include iTunes, I guess technically.
Yeah, and I know.
Not that they do anything.
Yeah, I don't. That would seem. Yeah, it'd be interesting if Google bought them. I think because.
Again.
Right.
Throw some money at
it. Exactly, and I think that I could see them trying because they wanted to. Make their Google TV a home commodity, you know, in everybody's house. And I could see that.
And they were shut down before. Like, you could actually use your Google TV with Hulu, but then they closed it and stopped it. So this would be kind of like one of those funny situations where it's like, haha, then we'll just buy you.
Exactly.
Can't let our device operate on your system.
Like, when they wanted to buy Groupon, and they're like, fine, we'll just make Google Offers and whatever.
There you go.
Screw you guys. On a side note, real
quick. Can't play with us?
I'm looking, we'll buy you. But I know Google TV just bought
another company. Sage TV.
Sage TV, there you go.
Yeah. Todd at work, he is a huge PVR guy, and he runs Sage, and he was talking to me about it earlier this week, and he was...
Because they just shut it down.
Yeah. Like, I mean, you can still use it, but I forget what he had said, but it was basically, I mean, the server aspect is going to be shut down, so you can't run your own home Sage server, so you can't dish it out. You'll have to buy add-ons or something. So it'll be interesting to see what happened. I used Sage for a little bit when I was at my old apartment, and it was an awesome application.
Well, kind of the big thing about Sage was that, even though it had the ability to record broadcasting, you still got TV listings, right?
Yes.
You actually had, like, a guide.
There was a TV guide in it. Yeah. Because it was all subscription-based.
Was that affected with this whole takeover with Sage TV?
I'm not sure. Okay. I didn't read into it.
Because I'm assuming that would come from, like, Sage TV itself.
Yep. Yeah. No.
Or did that come from an outside provider?
It multiple places. Sage had their own, and then they had... You know, have you ever done like in Firefox, they have an ad blocker built in, or that you can download as an add-on, and you can buy like these pop-up blocker subscriptions, or not buy them, but like subscribe to a feed. And it was basically like, it was like a home-built TV guide feed. So somebody was putting them up themselves.
Oh, okay.
So you could subscribe to it. And
well,
say,
that's nice then for those that have Sage TV and we're getting like the nice local programming.
Yep. And that's,
and
that's what I had. It was kind of a pain to set up, but it was handy because you could say, oh, you know, click, this is what program I want to record. And yeah.
Interesting.
Yes. So it'll be, I think it's a good and a bad thing. I mean, Todd would say, it's bad all around, but
I think the way they went about it, I mean, like, why not just leave it up for now? I mean, why can't you just leave it running until you do what you want to do? I mean, you can implement it where you want, you own it, but why just cut off? I mean, you have a small market already. Why not try to bring them with you instead of turning them all away and making them angry by taking away what they have already? I mean, it just doesn't.
And Sage was kind of the last free market sort of solid PVR out there also. So I know that's one of the big gripes about that as well. So go Google.
They just throw money at things and do what they want. But yeah. So there's also been some hacking this week. If you wanna if anyone's heard of LulzSec this week,
Lulz.
They've started what they call anti-sec. I mean, they've been hacking. They've been in the news a lot in the last month or so already, but just now they are being even more so. I mean, they've been just in the media constantly. They have waged war, we'll say, with the governments across the world and are supposedly teamed up with Anonymous, which is another hacking group, and they are just trying to shut down all these government sites, and they're supposedly have taken down like 3 or 4 already, but then now they have all these other hackers attacking them, and it's just turned into this madness.
I guess it's kind of getting into like one of those, it's not necessarily, maybe it's like the petty part of hacking, where like there's all these different disassociated groups just coming together, you know, once, you know, trying to do something good, but then LulzSec, after a while, it just seemed like they're just getting out of hand, and now other people are intervening, and tons of drama, I guess, is like happening with inside Anonymous, and
it
definitely just shows the age of anything.
You can tell it's little script kiddies doing stuff, but it was the one thing that I had read was somebody had released information about LulzSec, like one of the 6 people that are in there, and they they apparently had warned this guy saying, if you do this, it's not, it will come back and bite you in the butt. And this guy released, it was something ISP related about one of those six LulzSec members. And they went out and posted all sorts of information about this guy. I mean, his name, his phone number, his address, his work phone number, his Facebook, his girlfriend's name. I mean, just, and it was posted just on the internet and basically said, here, this is what happens to people who backstab LulzSec. And it's like, that's
right.
Like, yeah. And apparently, yeah, it's just, it's scary. It's, you know,
they seem to really, I mean, find little holes into everything. They just released, they've taken a few sites and they keep saying, cause they communicate a lot on Twitter, they've said that they're going to have a booty release. Hopefully they're getting it ready to be released on Thursday. I mean, cause they're pirates is what they're on a boat, the Lulz boat. So everything's in those terms. But earlier today, right before we started, there was actually they released a bunch of police reports from the Arizona Border Patrol.
Yep.
Saying, you know, just trying to show, I assume, bad things that have happened in Arizona and whatnot. So we'll see which, yeah, we'll see what they come out with, and if anything more comes out tomorrow, because they said they're going to release it Friday, so we'll see what happens with it. I mean, it's a lot of drama. It's kind of getting to the point of really, but it's...
I don't think they can be stopped, honestly, at this point, because the biggest thing with them was, I know there was before LulzSec and Anonymous said that they were teaming up, there was lots of stuff on, there's a website called 4chan, and there was a lot of people from Anonymous are on the boards, forum boards over there, and they were saying that they were starting to, there was going to be a war between the two, but then they decided that it, or they must have talked it out or whatnot, and decided
they hugged it out,
and it wasn't, the guys from LulzSec weren't attacking people from Anonymous, they were going after people that run the 4chan boards, because apparently they're a bunch of idiots. So I feel like, I mean, Anonymous has been out now for quite a few years now. I mean, their biggest one was against the, what was that church group? The Scientology. You know, taking down a bunch of Scientologist websites and whatnot. So, yeah, I think their following is... I mean, the more and more this is in the news, their following is only going to be bigger and bigger. And I don't think it'll be... I mean, the biggest thing, publicity-wise, will be the guys from LulzSec doing stuff. But it's going to be all of these little people in the background now going, I want to be like them. I'm going to try, you know, hacking into whatever, you know, I can get my hands on. So I think this will... It's only going to get bigger, I feel like.
The hackers are running rampant.
It's yes.
Just, oh. It's just becoming madness.
Yeah.
It's madness for now until they're, well, their caffeine crash, and then they'll sleep for like 4 days or something. Who knows? I don't know.
You're thinking meth, Pat.
Oh, never mind. Different problem.
Oh, yeah. I think it's funny, though. I like it. Well, it's going to force people to keep their systems up to date. I mean, if you're... I think that's the biggest thing is...
The positive out of all this is that I think, if not already, all IT departments are probably, like, double-checking, triple-checking, possible security holes, like, doing probably external, you know, penetration tests.
Yep.
Making sure that all their operating systems are up to date, whether they're running Apache or the latest version of IIS. I mean, there's a lot of positive coming out of this, but it's just, I don't know. I mean, yeah. It does kind of put a little bit of, like, a concern in the air where you're just like, gosh, like, well, my stuff is,
yeah,
you know, not so safe on, like, other, you know,
especially systems. When they're releasing, I mean, there's people who are working, like, for this Arizona Immigration Police Department function, you know, that they're just working there. They're not trying to be bad guys. They're just, you know, trying to make a paycheck and honest living like everybody else, you know? So it's, there's, I mean, I'm sure there's some freaking buttholes that are in the force over there, but at the same time, there's just as many good people who they don't deserve to have their personal information sit out on the internet, you know, right. without any say. So it's too bad. It's scary because it could happen to anybody.
Well, they had hacked that whatever files they had before, and they just released all the names and passwords, and they said, well, if you could figure this out, you have whatever it is. You can get into whatever you want, and some of it was people's PayPal, some of it was people's Amazon's accounts, yeah. And it was just, if you can figure out where this email and password go, you have free access.
Yeah, I know there were some World Warcraft accounts that got hacked
yeah.
from that, and... So. Pretty interesting. I think yeah, 60,000 user or emails and passwords, and somebody had a list of all of the email addresses.
They released it.
Right. I didn't see the list, but somebody had made a script where you could type in your email address and see if your email
Gizmodo.
Was in it.
Yep, it's still up on Gizmodo if you go search for it. I checked mine. I'm clear, don't worry.
Yep. Same here. I checked all of like my 10 email addresses.
I was checked right. and I'm clean.
So I was even though it was on Gizmodo's site, I was still very hesitant to put in my email because I'm like,
what if this is a trap?
It's a trap.
I double checked. I double checked the URL that I was on. I was like, okay, it's Gizmodo. I mean, they're pretty.
Yeah. Like I said, I mean, I trust Gizmodo, but still it's somebody else's script. So you just never know.
I don't know. Who knows?
Said
they said that they weren't going to harvest. Right below.
Yeah, that's.
You can't trust anyone's words
anymore.
That's like
seeing a pop-up that says, you can win a free iPhone right now.
I know. Being facetious.
Can I win a free iPhone?
You could. I'll send you a link. So, yeah.
All right. Yeah. So,
do you want to head down on the geek report?
Yeah, what we have left of it, we'll just shoot down those real quick.
So what we haven't talked about right now is Instapaper. I'll just kind of just read a little excerpt of what we have here. One of Instapaper's 5 leased servers was hosted by Digital One, a Swiss hosting company leasing Blade servers from a Virginia data center. Earlier Tuesday morning, the FBI raided the data center, seizing servers used by one of Digital One's consumers for fraudulent scareware distribution, according to the FBI police report. But they seemingly took more of the servers that happened to be physically near the servers that they were looking for. So, I mean, FBI seizing web servers. It looked like they seized one of Instapaper's web servers. They said the servers used, or the server was used as an SQL replication slave, handling read-only queries to speed up the site. So Instapaper didn't suffer any downtime as a result of the theft. They were calling it theft, you know.
Because they think the FBI doesn't have precedence to take the server.
Sure.
I mean, it was in Switzerland or something, wasn't it? I mean,
they said it was in Virginia.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I get the idea that it's a rent. I mean, obviously, it's a leased server. The FBI didn't really know any better. They just came in and cleaned house.
The thing that I thought was funny from it all was, what's the company that they're leasing it from?
Digital One Server.
Digital One has said nothing to Instapaper, and they won't tell them what happened, why it happened, if they're gonna get money back from their lease, what have you. They haven't said anything to them.
Right.
So the guy on the Instapaper blog said, you know, I will never do service with these people again. I'm gonna move everything I have. You know, I just want to let you guys know what I know. He put it up on the Instapaper blog. So I mean, he's being proactive. Kind of reminds me of the whole Sony situation, really. But
right. And then he also had mentioned that, you know, anything that was stored on Instapaper was also salted in a SHA-1 hashes of passwords. So everything that was at least, you know, retrieved or whatever that's in the FBI's possession, it's safe,
except for the fact that, I mean, people use the same passwords for the most part. There's nothing too personal that's going to be on Instapaper. It's just
sure.
It's just internet pages that you want to read, essentially, is what it is. Internet sites, stories, whatever that you want to take in and you save to read for later or to save to send to someone. So, I mean, for the most part, there's nothing too valuable, but he's, you know, obviously he's pissed about the situation and let everyone know and Still doesn't know why. So
way to go, FBI, for just grabbing anything that had a media or was a digital want badge on it.
They can do what they want.
I guess so.
The FBI?
Yep.
I'm just imagining, what kind of data center did they just waltz into?
And just, and then in there, I think
obviously
he
wasn't
said
a tier three data center.
He said it, he said the server probably cost $5,000 to $8,000. I think is what he thought, right?
And it's not like they're just walking out with it either.
It's like, yeah, they're, or if it's like the snapping rails, I mean, they're kind of a pain.
Yeah,
I mean, I'd hate to be on the team, the FBI raid team, where it's like, I gotta lug this 50-pound server, like, two underneath my arm. Like, those guys weren't happy.
Yeah.
There has been an interesting photo development. I mean, the people are calling it the future of photography, but there's this company called Lytro. It's L-Y-T-R-O, if you could go to lytro.com to check it out. But they're making it so you're making cameras that have the technology where they take the picture and you can change the focus later on. So, I mean, if there's something in the background in the pictures, you can click and it'll focus in on something in the distance, and then you can click on something closer and it'll refocus it after the picture's been taken, as opposed to pictures that you have to pick which object you want to focus on. So, I mean, it's really pretty cool technology from what I've seen. You can play with some demos of it, and, I mean, it'll be interesting to see, because I know they own all the patents themselves, and so they do plan to make cameras. So I mean, we'll see what happens with it. Whether they just start taking over the market. I mean, Nikon and Canon obviously have a huge part of the market right now, but
right. Yeah, I'll keep going.
We'll see what happens with Lytro.
Yeah, I played with it a little. I saw it on Gizmodo earlier, and on their site, I'll post a link to their site onto the site here in a few minutes. But I played with it a little bit, and what I think it's doing is it works similar to like your standard digital camera, where it'll take a picture in focus, like of everything. It tries to focus everything that it can. And what I think this is doing is it's going to have some sort of like video/photo processor built in, where it's constantly quoting in the air, photoshopping the picture to like auto blur different depths of the photo. So yeah, that's what I think it is. I mean, it's not, I don't think it's like refocusing the image. I think it's just like blurring
right
certain things. And
yeah, I mean, they had talked about how, like, because they're using, I think Lytro is using like 19 different micro lenses with different aperture settings. So it's actually taking 19 different pictures in different focusing, like.
Right.
So
that's kind of what
so
I was.
So there's like 19 layers that it can shift through, and it allows you to.
That makes
I mean,
sense.
It allows you to go back later and kind of shift through all the different focuses, where this one's a little bit better.
So how long
than
does
others.
A picture take?
Well, and see, that's, I mean, I don't know how much they've released yet. I've just played around with the pictures mostly, I guess.
Yeah.
But it reminds me of the HDR thing that Apple has on their camera right now on the iPhone, where you can take a picture, it takes three different pictures, and it balances out the light to give you the best lighting in all
the best
corners.
Contrast.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of reminds me of that, where they're taking all these pictures
that's
at once.
HD, you said?
HDR.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I know on Dignation, probably like a year ago, maybe they were playing with, I forget which other show it was from Revision 3, but they shot in downtown San Francisco with the HDR camera, or it was HD camera, video camera, and it was similar where it does, I think it was like 3 or 5 or something like that, but it like, the way it looked was just insane, because it balanced everything out, so everything in the background looked clear, everything in the mid-ground looked clear, and they clearly looked clear.
Right. It's kind of like a cool little camera trick that you could have done back in the day, where you took like three different exposures and then had the ability to stitch those photos together. So
yep.
Yeah, so you get the best pickup of like your darks and then kind of your medium and then anything that had like overexposure. That would typically have any overexposure if you were to have like your shutter speed a little bit less. And it just kind of just allows you to blend them together, so you have like this awesome, like you can tell like pictures that are taken,
yep.
and that they're met like they're just blended together with like two other different exposures.
Yep.
I mean, it's incredible. The,
yeah, those. Yeah, because I know I've seen one where it showed a daytime picture and a nighttime picture like stitched together, and some of the effects of like clouds that had passed by, like when they had the nighttime picture taken, because you have to hold the exposure open for so long,
mm-hmm.
and the effect that they got with like the sunlight quoting in the air shining through those, it was just, yeah, it was like, it looked very CGI-esque. It was cool though. Maybe I'll see if I can find a couple of those pictures.
If so, oh sorry,
no, I'm done. I was just saying.
Oh, okay, sorry. Okay, to go on, more here. Nevada prepares itself for imminent rise of driverless cars. So watch out, Nevada. Or maybe not so much driverless, but more autonomous vehicles. So to give you a little bit of what's going on here, driverless cars are still ways away from hitting the mainstream. But when they do, the glorious state of Nevada will be ready for them. This week, the state passed a law that required the Department of Transportation to adopt regulations authorizing the operation of autonomous vehicles on highways within the state of Nevada. So watch out. We'll have our cars drive us to the casinos, to the bar, and then back home.
The funny thing with that is, I think, I mean, Google has been pushing for this, and they were actually lobbying in Nevada, so I wonder how much effect they have on that situation in itself. I mean, they had the Priuses that were being remotely self-automated in San Francisco, I think they were driving. They put 1,000,000 miles on the three of them, I think is what it was. Don't quote me on that. But I know they were lobbying to get it pushed in Nevada because they want to start testing there as well. And here this is, so I wonder how much push they had with that.
And I think it was a pretty impressive show of what they had, what Google had, where they were putting people in front of the vehicles to show that they would stop and not run over anyone.
Right.
I think it was actually like Becky Worley was like put in front of like a car, like an autonomous car, and it stopped before obviously running her down because she's still alive and kicking in the same form. So not in a wheelchair. Yeah.
It's definitely interesting to see what'll happen with that. And
yeah, go autonomous vehicles.
I no longer
want to drive anymore.
It's funny because I listened to yesterday's forecast, that story I read today, and then yesterday on the forecast they were talking about it, so interesting.
It's all happening, Mike. All right, next on the list.
Well, after the Winklevii, if you have seen The Social Network, you will know that they are the twins that worked with Mark Zuckerberg, supposedly came up with the idea for Facebook themselves, which, you know, yeah, if you've seen the movie, you know. But they've been suing him for 7 years. Lawsuits. They got $65 million out of the deal, and then they decided they should have got more, so they kept suing. But they said yesterday that, or they didn't say, I guess, there was a statement made to the U.S. Court of Appeals in the Ninth Circuit in San Francisco saying that they dropped the legal appeal and were, you know, going to be done and happy with their $65 million. But actually, it turns out that they've now filed in the Boston federal court. So, I guess they just decided to change markets to see if they had better luck. So, we'll see what happens.
I guess more power to them. All right. On Gizmodo.com, rumors tablet launching as early as August. They had mentioned that the Amazon big man, Jeff Bezos, himself confirming there is a tablet in works and we're working on a... So we're moving from this hypothesized, hypothesizing over to the likelihood of one, and started guessing what's inside, I guess, at this point. So yeah, it looks like Amazon's going to be having a tablet running a TI processor, and we'll have streaming movies and other services to lure them on in August or September.
If you are on Verizon, you should probably get an unlimited data plan if you want one, because as of July 7th, the same day, ironically, that our contest is ending,
we planned that.
Right. You will have to go to a tiered plan if you don't already have it. You can get grandfathered in if you have it, but you will no longer be able to get it after July 7th. Something AT&T did a while ago, but some of us got grandfathered into that too.
And yes, I was left out.
Yeah, it's $30 bucks a month for the unlimited plan through Verizon. So, I don't know. To me, it's like...
Which is also the same as what it was on AT&T. That's what I have now, so $30 bucks a month.
I don't know. Most people... I haven't seen what the price plans will be for Verizon, but...
Saw them, but don't remember.
I would assume that they will be cheaper than $30 for a lower-tiered plan, where most people, your average user, isn't going to need a unlimited plan. I mean, it's more of that safety net, I guess. More
only 1% of our users are affected.
Clearly.
Yeah. So... Just a few quick Apple tidbits for everybody. There's rumors rolling around that they may be rolling out their own maps, which I think this has actually been rumored for about a year. They talked about it before. They bought a couple map companies themselves. But again, the rumor is reappearing. They just released new time capsules and an Airport Extreme. The time capsules are in a 2 and 3 terabyte setting. Final Cut Pro X was also released the other day to mixed reviews. Some people really are unhappy with it. It's $299, and then the two other, the Motion and the compressor, are $50 each. So you might end up spending $400. But a lot of people are having issues with the fact that you can't open your old files, your old Final Cut files, with the new Final Cut. And rumor has it, Randy informed me earlier, that Apple has been deleting bad reviews on their site.
Yeah, about
on the App Store, I'd assume.
Yeah, I didn't catch where it was.
I would only assume they have that power in their own App Store, so.
Yeah.
And that's the only place you could buy it right now, so it would make sense.
Yeah, so it's funny. Apparently, yeah, lots of people have been complaining about certain features and whatnot. I would assume that what you just mentioned, where you can't open old ones, is probably what people were complaining about, and they would rather not have, you know, they'd rather have all positive than negative.
Right. Samsung was denied seeing the new iPhone and iPad after they filed to, because Apple's suing Samsung, and they got to see their unreleased devices. The difference being that Samsung's devices were announced to the public, where they wanted to see the iPhone 5 and the iPad 3, or whatever the closest working models they had to their next products, but they were denied, which I think everyone saw coming. Apple got granted a patent yesterday, which everyone thought was for every touchscreen at first, but once the patent was read more thoroughly, it has become a certain gesture. Basically, from what I understand, it's the pinch to zoom and stuff, making it not impossible, but probably will win them some more licensing rights from other phone companies. There's been a lot of speculation in the last 2 days that Apple is going to make a TV itself, which has been rumored for about a year as well, but everyone thinks that it's going to happen this fall as a release, but a lot of people also disagree greatly that they're not ready to do that yet. Although they will eventually, I think, come out with their own TVs. I mean, why wouldn't they? Why not control all the markets? And if you are on T-Mobile and you have an unlocked iPhone, it turns out you're not alone. There was a stat released today that there are over 1 million unlocked iPhones since... I mean, it's been around for 4 years now, so I guess it's kind of been getting up there, but...
Yeah, I think it was... I could look, but I want to say for sure at least 2 years ago, T-Mobile came out and said that they would support iPhones on their network, so the jailbroken ones. So they have been tech support for iPhones for sure 2 years.
And even now with the unlocked phones, the biggest thing is that you can only use the Edge network. You can't actually use T-Mobile's 3 or 4G. You can only use their Edge, which is the tier below 3G. You could call it 2G, I don't know what it... But it's the slower version of their internet. For whatever reason, it can't get the 3G, but people want the phone enough, they'll deal with it, I guess. I mean,
yeah, well, a lot of people just, I mean, like I had said when we were talking yesterday, actually, about the Apple interface, you know, I mean, a lot of people, I mean, even just having the iPod Touch is enough for a lot of people, because you can get all the apps, you can do almost all function, and you can still, I mean, the interface is what people want because it's so extremely smooth. So,
and I mean, you're always on Wi-Fi a lot of the times anyway. Everywhere you go and at home, you should almost always have Wi-Fi. So, I mean, you can use that and it'll obviously be fast enough instead of 3G. So,
right.
There's always that.
Shoot, I forgot what I was gonna... I thought there was something else I was gonna bring up about Apple, but... Probably wasn't going to be good.
There's always next week.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that wraps her up pretty well.
Yeah.
We've covered all the topics, I think.
Again, if there's more of you now in the chat room than there was earlier, some more of you listening now, but... And for anyone who's listening later, we are going to do a contest. Those of you who can get the make a comment on our wall... the Bleed Geek Facebook site, and the more people you can get to like your comment by July 7th at 7:55 Central Time.
Correct.
We'll win a free, brand new, in the package, Bose earbuds. Awesome headphones, so.
Can I win them?
Because no.
I would like some.
Randy and Pat and myself are excluded from this contest.
Damn. Is it worth changing my name legally?
If you want... the earbuds, I... Do what you want, Pat.
Okay, all right, fine.
You probably won't fool me, though.
Challenge
accepted.
I will shave.
Excellent. All right. I think that's it for this edition of Bleed Geek. Oh, hey, how about follow us on Twitter? You want to follow us on Twitter? If you guys have Twitters, if you're tweeters, Twitters, follow us at Bleed Geek. Or you can follow us individually. I'm at Crandall111.
I'm Mike037.
And I'm HammockTime with a Y instead of an I.
We always look forward. If you guys have any feedback at all, it doesn't even have to be, I mean, send us an email. We have an email, fans@bleedgeek.com. If you have ideas that you want us to do, I mean, feedback on our format... feedback for, I mean, things you'd like us to do, or
if you want Mike to quit talking about Apple, maybe.
I mean, we'll read it, and whether or not we do it, it's another story.
But we'll definitely, you know, we're open to different segment ideas. Kind of ones that we've been kicking around are maybe like you have like a tech support question, or you have some PC troubles.
I mean, we could do
you support. You can. All of us, you know, the majority of us are pretty. Savvy with PCs, including you, Mike. I mean,
I
Randy,
like
and I work
much.
Randy and I work in the field on a regular basis, but Mike's he's a savvy guy here. But if you have any PC problems, PC questions, or looking to buy something and just want some further advice,
or Apple questions, not even
or
PC.
Apple, yeah, or
I
Apple.
I mean, as much as I don't want to look it up, I'll look it up for you.
But
or
if you have I can just tell you so.
If you have any problems, we'll be more than glad to do the research for you and then give it back to you in a reasonable manner.
Or if you don't want to email us, you want to call us, we have a phone number too, which is 406-79-GEEKS, which is also 406-794-3357. And if you have a comment, it's possible we'd play it on the air. If it's lengthy and appropriate. If it's length appropriate, not lengthy. We don't want it to be long. Hey. 30 seconds.
Shortened to the point.
Right. Unlike us.
True.
So like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, email us, call us.
We've got all sorts of ways to get a hold of us.
Yeah.
So that's it for... Is that it?
We also just put up... we're going to start not a regular newsletter, but maybe emailing about contests and whatnot. So there's a thing to sign up on our website. And we've also condensed our live stream and our chat to our website, so you can check that out at bleedgeek.com/live every Thursday at 8. And that, I believe, is it.
Oh, and if you're feeling up to it, we have bills to pay for doing this. So if you would, if you'd like to supply us with drinks for the evening or some snacks or.
We're asking for care packages. Yeah. We are broke college students. No, I'm just kidding. But
basically.
Or eventually we would do video instead of just audio. So, I mean, that's, you know, something that'll end up costing us
as
well.
So we have also on our site, we have a donate button. I tested it out today. I have donated to the cause, so I know it works. So don't say that it doesn't work, because I'll tell you you're lying. I think that's it, though.
Right.
So, that is it for this edition of Bleed Geek. I'm Randy Orvis.
I'm Mike Girl.
And I'm Patrick McGivern.
And Apple TV and Google.
Together.
Making...
Apple TV babies, Google.
Yep.
Google babies.
Oh...